Jackson, W266DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report. The U.S. has been attacking targets in Iraq and Syria, it says, are being used as proxies for Iran to attack Americans in the Middle East. The airstrikes are in retaliation for last weekend's drone attack that killed three American service members in Jordan. Pentagon correspondent David Martin.
They're being conducted against about a half a dozen locations, and the planes involved include two B-1 bombers, which is capable of carrying up to 75,000 pounds of bombs. So these could be fairly extensive strikes.
CBS's Christina Ruffini.
Because Iran has so many proxy groups and so many tentacles throughout the region, the U.S. is able to target them without striking inside the boundaries. And the thought behind that with this administration, we believe, is that they are trying to strike back, to have retaliation for these U.S. forces that were killed without escalating the wider conflict in the Middle East.
CBS News special report. I'm Peter King.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Two experts on redistricting are throwing out two proposed sets of legislative maps drawn by Republicans, but they're not endorsing any of the remaining four proposals, all drawn by Democrats, liberal groups, or university professors. The experts were hired by the state Supreme Court, which plans to redraw Wisconsin's political maps. A package of $2 billion worth of proposed tax cuts are making their way through the Wisconsin legislature. Republican Representative David Steffen told a committee hearing yesterday there's no time like now.
A time of incredible bounty here in the state of Wisconsin. In addition to our surplus, over $1.7 billion in a rainy day fund. My goodness, these are opportunities for us to do this.
Governor Evers vetoed similar tax cut proposals twice last year. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. According to investigators, the suspect in the Elkhorn Bar shooting is still on the run. Police aren't saying exactly what happened inside the Sports Page Bar, but do call the killing of a husband and wife a senseless act of violence. Early yesterday inside the bar, police discovered the bodies of 33-year-old Emerson Weingart and his 37-year-old wife Gina. It's unclear to investigators if the shooting was an attempted robbery or something else. A consortium of tech companies and universities in the Great Lakes region has secured a $15 million grant to focus on water purification efforts. The Great Lakes Renew Initiative is part of a broader endeavor to spur economic growth and foster innovation. This specific grant money will be used locally to research methods for extracting hazardous substances and minerals from wastewater. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
I saw the Ramones in that place on their last tour.
Oh, wow.
I was doing the club next door, and we just walked next door after our show.
Did you use the old, we're the comedians line?
That's a big thing in stand-up. For those of you listening, comics will use that to get in anywhere. Hi, we're the comedians next door.
Yeah, we're the
thinking,
comics.
Like you're with the FBI or something. But sometimes it works. People are like, oh, that's so cool. Come on
in. Oh, you're comics. Yeah, come on in.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 8 till 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Brewers trade Corbin Burnes. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Brewers have traded their ace pitcher, Corbin Burnes, to the Baltimore Orioles in exchange for a left-handed pitcher, DJ Hall, infielder, Joey Ortiz, and a future draft pick. Last February, Burnes upset with the Brewers organization after during an arbitration meeting, they blamed him for not reaching the playoffs in 2022.
Had the hearing all day Tuesday, spent Valentine's Day on a plane, got home at 10, 11 o'clock and got to see my wife before she fell asleep, so that was kind of how the Valentine's Day went, so that was fun. But like I say, you kind of find out your true value.
We spoke with Brewers general manager Matt Arnold.
Look, anytime you trade a guy like Corbin, it's always a difficult decision. I think the overarching theme here is that we're excited about the players we're getting back.
NFL, Brian Gutekunst says poor play in the secondary is partly what led to them firing Joe Barry and hiring Boston College head coach Jeff Hafley. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, patchy fog tonight, and lows in the low 30s. A mixture of sunshine and clouds tomorrow, and highs right around 40. Mostly sunny, warm, and low 40s for the high Sunday. The warm weather continues for next week, several highs in the 40s, even some 50s. Current temp is 30.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I love Jennifer Beals, and it is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight a guy who kissed her, Peter Moore.
I wish I could say she was madly in love with me, but we starred in the High School Musical.
You and I kissed during a play once, Pete, and I will say I didn't really feel a connection.
That was also in The Boyfriend, but that was a different version of The Boyfriend.
That was The Boyfriends.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Suffocate me so my tears can be rain. I will water the ground where I stand so the flowers can grow back again. Cause just like the sea, everything wants to land. We are burning our fingers, but we learn to forget.
Maggie Dawn, you are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I am joined by Anya Esther in the production booth. If you want to give us a call, be sure you say hello to Anya, 844-967-2789. Greetings, WRCE Richland Center, coming to you live from Waukesha. We are and statewide. So excited to watch the expansion of the Civic Media Radio Network. And for me, I mean, hey, I'm just a girl from Milwaukee, kind of exciting to think about sharing some thoughts and learning together all across the state of Wisconsin. We've got a whole lot of news and Wisconsin specific things happening today and this week. It started with Vice President Kamala Harris's appearance in Waukesha today to celebrate the 51st anniversary of Roe v. Wade. I'm going to be joined tomorrow by Civic Media News Director Terry Bell to talk about her appearance, as well as the Wisconsin State of the State address, which will be heard tomorrow at 7 p.m. So Terry's going to cue up the State of the State, what we might be expecting. Tomorrow, I'm also going to be joined by Professor Catherine Eden for the bottom of the hour, talking about the middle class, the working middle class, and what policies have big impacts on all of us who work for a living, right? Not the bourgeois, if you will, us suckers who go to work every day. So that'll be Catherine Eden. Always really excited to talk with Kathy. This Wednesday, we will be doing a little bit of a postmortem on Nikki Haley. Let's see how New Hampshire goes tomorrow. Boy, if that ain't make or break for candidate Haley, I do not know what is. The Granite State, considered to be a little bit more moderate, folks that'll come out, I think, in larger numbers than they perhaps did in Iowa, which had a really low turnout. So we'll give a little time to Nikki Haley. I'm also going to be joined on Wednesday by my friend Joanna Frachek, who's a lawyer, a friend of mine, friend of the show, and an immigrant. We're going to talk a little bit about immigration. I will be off this coming Thursday, returning to you on Monday with a guest that I just booked today. Kimberly Tallarico Wolf is MPS's climate justice instructional coach. So she helps the teachers within MPS think and teach and talk about climate justice with their classrooms. That's going to be fascinating. I wanted to build on the discussion that I just dipped my toe into last week. We've talked about it before here on the Maggie Dawn Show about climate. What does all this mean? But last week, given the temperatures and given some of the stupid things that were said. I wanted to sort of tease the topic, and I'm really fortunate, pleased, and humbled to be joined today by UW Professor of Climatology, Steve Vavras. He is Wisconsin's chief climatologist. He has been part of the Scientific Steering Committee of SEARCH, which is the study of environmental Arctic change, the steering committee member of the Community Earth System Model, chair of the American Meteorological Society's Polar Meteorology and Oceanography Committee. The guy's got a resume that keeps on going and going, knows his stuff. And I wanted Professor Vavras to share with us, how can it be so very cold and yet climate change still be a thing? You don't have to take it from me or Ron Johnson or Tucker Carlson or Larry Kudlow or Donald Trump or anyone else. You can hear it here on the Maggie Dawn Show. I'll go get to the professor who's an expert in it to explain it all. And Steve Vavras isn't just an expert on climate. He is focused on global climate change, Arctic climate, Wisconsin climate, as well as extreme weather. Always remember, don't confuse weather with climate. They're two different things. Weather is your mood for the day. Climate is your overall personality and how things change over many years, the trends that we're seeing. Given that 2023 was the hottest year ever since we started measuring this, I thought it only appropriate to get some actual expert help to help us all understand. So if you're going to have questions for Professor Vavras, get them ready, 844-967-2789. And you can also always just text those questions on in, 844-967-2789. Better yet, you can watch us live and message us as we're doing the show on YouTube and on Facebook. I believe we also are streaming on Twitter. So all kinds of ways to interact. But Anya, I got to tell you, I have to start today in the non-political arena, or as much as can be non-political these days. I helped call the football game this past Saturday at Linneman's. Boy, did that break my heart. I had so much fun doing it, but it was such a terrible letdown. I don't know how many football nerds are out there, but if you want to give me your 2 cents on the Packers 49ers matchup this past Saturday, I just think the Packers put together more good minutes of football than did the 49ers. It literally came down to about two or three plays. Of course, the missed field goal, the fourth and one that didn't convert, the missed field goal. Couple of stops that we failed to make, watching Christian McCaffrey sort of march down the field. Again, I chalked that entire game up to maybe three plays that were the difference makers for the 49ers. Got to say thanks to Jim Linneman for hosting us. My thanks to my co-host Nick Kovac and Keith Gosted. We really had a very good time despite the loss. Was certainly hoping to do it again for the NFC Championship, but alas, poor Yorick, it shall not be. So you're going to want to keep it locked all hour. Before we got into some of the real heavy stuff this afternoon, I thought I would start with some of the odds and ends that I've seen in the news, Anya, because I bet you saw this one too, which I had to then go read about, is that the Federal Department of Transportation is banning like funny, ironic, punny messages.
I saw that. Yes, I'm mad about that. Ban billboards too, if that's what we're doing.
Okay, that was my question. I love it when the great minds think alike. So if you haven't heard the news, the Federal Department of Transportation is basically telling state DOTs, you can no longer put up funny or punny, not to be confused, although puns are often also fun, funny, punny, ironic, cheeky messages on those overhead readouts that you see when you're driving. And they basically said they may be distracting to drivers, in which case, I'm sorry, the big electronic, bright, shiny things that change every 5 seconds. I don't know. I wanted to throw this one out to the listeners before we get into the deep stuff, the deep cuts, if you will, on this Monday edition. What do you think? Was this a good thing to ban the funny messages? And I just wanted to give some of the better ones that I've seen around. Some of them rang a bell. This is from the Journal Sentinel coverage just a few days ago. One of them is, that's the temperature, not the speed limit. I thought that one was great. Sort of appropriate for a conversation today, if you will. Another funny one that the JS mentioned, you are not a turkey. Don't drive basted. Like, come on. That's just, most of us are angry when we're in the cars. Things are taking too long. We're late. There's traffic. Whatever. You are not a turkey. Don't drive basted. Both timely when it's the Thanksgiving holiday and also funny. I mean, that's a good message. Hocus pocus, drive with focus for your Halloween enthusiasts. I thought that's great. 844-967-2789. Is it a good thing that the DOT is banning these messages? I don't get how they ban these, but again, seem to under-regulate billboards. I just do not understand that. I have often found billboards to be more cringy, distracting, especially the huge electronic billboards that change that you see in any urban area nowadays. And basically you got Clear Channel and, oh my gosh, I'm going to blank on the other one. It's Clear Channel and Lamar Outdoor. I'm sorry, are the two major billboard advertising company. Those suckers cost hundreds of thousands. Oftentimes, if you're on one of the electronic ones, they're even more expensive. Lamar and Clear Channel are $1 billion a year companies. I don't know. If the DOT can't do it in dot matrix, is it okay right adjacent to the expressway in full-blown HD color? I'm not tracking that. Here's the technical rule. The Federal Highway Administration released its updated 1,100-page manual, which includes rules regulating signs and other traffic control devices. Administration officials said overhead electronic signs with, quote, obscure meanings, references to pop culture, or those intended to be funny, end quote, will be banned nationwide by 2026 because they can be misunderstood or distracting to drivers. New guidelines state that the signs should be simple, direct, brief, legible, and clear. They can be used only to relay important information, such as warning drivers of crashes ahead, adverse weather conditions, and traffic delays. Seatbelt reminders and warnings about the dangers of speeding or driving while impaired are also allowed. Wah, wah. What about amber alerts? What about silver alerts? I don't know. I just thought this seemed kind of stupid to me. Like, do we have to really take all the fun out of the Department of Transportation? Here's a couple of other really funny ones. Texting and driving, autocorrect yourself. I mean, that's great, right? Are you buckled up, mateys? That was on an overhead sign. Life is fragile, slow down, which I thought was just cute. Make it to deer camp, drive sober. Certainly appropriate in the state of Wisconsin. Solo down, lay off the gas for those Star Wars aficionados out there. If you want to tell me what you think, 844-967-2789. Otherwise, we will keep your texts and calls queued up to ask Professor Stephen Vavris. When we come back, we're going to listen to some of the current Republican talking heads talking about climate change. Can you guess what they might be saying? It is a Monday episode of the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We always want to hear from you. It's never about me. It's always about we. 844-967-2789. Join us.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
Why not make this Valentine's Day wild while supporting the Milwaukee County Zoo at the same time? Send a loving message from one of your favorite animals to one of your favorite humans. Learn more at milwaukeezoo.org. the Zoo's Jennifer Deliberti also joined Matt Nair on air to reminisce as she gets ready to retire. Here's one thing Jane recalls.
You and I did a little behind the scenes at the zoo, and you drove me around in the golf cart. And right. One of the things I thought was so cool, the keepers and the animal trainers get to name new baby animals, and a lot of them will use family names.
Oh my gosh, yes.
I love that.
Deliberti has been with the zoo for 25 years. Congratulations.
For me, it's been the best job I've ever had. I love it.
Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn, joined by Anya Esther and you, 844-967-2789, here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be covering the State of the State address tomorrow. Our news director, Terry Bell, and one of Civic Media's own midday hosts, Todd Alba, will be there to cover the speech across our network at 7 p.m. immediately following my show, as well as the Republican response. Mark your calendars. You're not going to want to miss it. Also, we've got a new show starting, Lou Regani's Music of the Stars. It just started last week. It's going to run for about another week. If you are into music, and interesting music, Lou's start is wonderful. It comes on live 7 a.m. to noon on Sunday mornings. Go check Lou's show out. I'm sure you will enjoy it. Anya, let's listen to some of the Republicans talking climate because it's so fascinating. I'm going to take these a little bit out of order. So we're going to start with 4B. We're going to go to 4A, and we're probably going to hit 3. We're going to save Larry Kudlow for when we come back with the professor because there's so much in that one. But let's go ahead. This is Fox and Friends, Ed Henry. Let's take a listen.
We know it's cold outside. Now the left is actually using new terms for global warming like extreme weather. Why do they keep changing the language? Are they just pushing the same old agenda with new words?
And
that's next.
The doctor is in.
So, no. Extreme weather is not equivalent to climate change. People that know about climate change don't confuse the two. They're distinct concepts, but, and I know this is a stretch sometimes, they can be related. In other words, climate change can make already extreme weather more extreme. That's what Professor Vavras will help us understand. So very important. Let's take a listen. This is Tucker Carlson back in 2019. This is Cut 4B.
Wind power is a scam. It's an elaborate ripoff perpetuated on impoverished rural America by a few heavily subsidized corporations that are getting rich from making the landscape uglier. Solar is a promising technology, actually, but we're still far from being able to efficiently store the energy it produces, and storage is key in a power grid. Solar is not a replacement for fossil fuels now or anytime soon, and anyone who tells you otherwise hasn't bothered to learn anything about it. That would describe most of the people pushing the Green New Deal. How well is wind power going to heat your house when it's 30 below?
So keep in mind what was in there, right? It was wind power's garbage, solar, interesting, but never enough. All of this is just costly and it's going to harm the middle class, right? Let's now take a listen. This is Tucker back in 2022. This is going to be cut one on you if you don't mind. Let's take a listen.
But they're not laughing anymore. The Europeans have discovered that the real threat to human civilization is not global warming. It never was global warming. Oh. The real threat to people is global cooling, ooh, otherwise known as winter.
Ah.
Far more people freeze to death every year than die of heat. In 2019, for example, 4 times as many people died of cold as of heat. That's according to the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation. So when temperatures in Europe begin to drop a few months from now, huge problem. And that will be obvious to everyone. It's not global warming, it's global cooling. That's what's going to kill your grandmother. Mm. And when everyone understands that perfectly well, a lot of things are going to happen. The status quo will crumble. Factories will close. Unemployment will rise. Disposable income will disappear.
Okay, so again, extrapolating a couple of things there. It's not really global warming. It's not really climate change. It's global cooling. And something about the status quo and then factories closing, right? And unemployment's going to spike. So there's some themes here, right? Like it's not really a problem, or it's the problems being misstated to you. The proposed solutions don't work. And all of this is just trying to take money from you. Okay, that's Tucker in 2022. Here's Trump on Stuart Varney's show on Fox in 2022.
What about climate change?
Somebody that I don't even think ever took a course in the environment.
Is the climate climate changing because of human activity?
In my opinion, you have a thing called weather, and you go up and you go down. If you look into the 1920s, they were talking about global freezing. Okay, in other words, the globe was going to freeze. And then they go global warming. Then they couldn't use that because the temperatures were actually quite cool and many different things. So now they just talk about climate change. The climate's always been changing.
Okay. So again, it's really not that bad. So maybe it's changing, but they've talked about this before, and maybe it's cooling but not heating. But whatever it is, it's just not that bad. And I love the fact that at the beginning of this clip, he's talking about someone not having any degree in the thing that they're talking about. Because I don't think Trump is a closet PhD climatologist. I mean, is he saying that people have to have degrees in order to be qualified to talk about things? Because that would certainly seem to be problematic for Mr. Trump. So that's, again, let's summarize the themes that we've heard. It's not really a problem, or we're misstating the problem, or it's more about cooling. It's not, they're flip-floppers, don't trust it, right? Any of the fixes that they propose as fixes aren't really fixes. They don't work. And if we do anything about this, it will result in middle class Armageddon. Those are kind of a couple of the buckets, the two or three buckets that I would put them into. Is that a fair summary, Anya? Am I getting that mostly correct? Sounds like
I think you are. Yeah, it's
those are the.
It's either it doesn't matter, or the parts that matter you've been lied to about. So womp womp, give up, and none of it spells out anything good, I think, for like the next 20 years of having a planet.
Right. So when we come back, we're going to be joined by Professor Vavris, who's going to help us understand that. I'm going to start with a bit of a longer cut from Fox host Larry Kudlow just from last week or the week before. So this year, Larry Kudlow doing his business show on Fox Business, because he puts together in sort of this long riff, we're going to listen to some pieces of it, many of these points. And I want to leave us as we go out before these important messages. Here's what the Center for Countering Digital Hate found when it released. They've been researching this about how do people talk about climate. This was their report on January 17th. They said, those that have been denying climate change have shifted tactics. They're now not claiming that it is a hoax. They're not claiming that humans aren't responsible for it. What they're now doing is undermining climate science as flip-floppy, casting doubt on the efficacy of climate solutions or their cost. And they're claiming that global warming or climate change will be beneficial or at least harmless. Does this sound like the categories that we've been talking about? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're not going to want to miss it. Me with UW climate scientist Stephen Vavris. When we return here on the Maggie Dawn Show, join us, everybody, 844-967-2789.
Come on, baby,
the Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Landlord-tenant issues were the number one complaint filed with Wisconsin's Consumer Protection Agency last year. More than 2,200 complaints were filed about security deposits, evictions, or bad service. Also high on the list are complaints about telemarketers, cable and phone service, and identity theft. February is American Heart Month. Heart disease is the leading cause of death in the United States. That's been the case for a century. Chrissy Meyer is with the American Heart Association.
Nearly half of all people in the U.S. have some type of cardiovascular disease.
A new study from the Heart Association finds nearly 4 out of 10 people with high blood pressure are unaware they have it. Meyer says that puts a lot of people at risk for heart attacks and strokes. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Wattles. One Milwaukee alderman wants a new law to force rescue workers to get out of their ambulances in emergencies. It comes just days after it was revealed that a rescue crew failed to get out of their truck to search for a woman who might have frozen to death. Jolene Waldrop was found unconscious at a Milwaukee bus stop and did later die. The ambulance crew said they weren't able to see her due to the snow mounds. The coroner says she was outside in wind chills of 20 below zero for about an hour. A West Bend woman was arrested for suspected drunk driving while picking up her boyfriend from jail, who had also been arrested for drunk driving earlier. The woman admitted to driving to the police station directly from a bar, and officers say she did show signs of impairment. She was actually in the car when her boyfriend got the original OWI. It's her second offense. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Wattles, WAUK News.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass. Eyes waiting. Started to wonder. Metamorphosis. The loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. First, there was 28 Days Later, then 28 Weeks Later. The newest installment of the zombie franchise will be called 28 Years Later. The project was just purchased by Sony. 28 Days Later premiered in 2002. By the time Weeks Later is complete and ready for screens, it will probably be 28 years after the first flick. Well, if reality is your game, Farmer Wants a Wife Season 2 premieres tonight on Fox. Four groups, each one consisting of one farmer and eight women, that's the exact opposite ratio of every college party I ever went to, spend time together on a farm. That's right, 32 beautiful women are auditioning to work hard on a farm. The couples are in search of love connections, compatibility, and romance, and since there are eight girls to one guy, presumably a boatload of Viagra. Producers settled on the title, which edged out actor in cowboy hat Wants a Wife. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 8 and 10 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, patchy fog tonight, and lows in the low 30s. A mixture of sunshine and clouds tomorrow, and highs right around 40. Mostly sunny, warm, and low 40s for the high Sunday. The warm weather continues for next week. Several highs in the 40s, even some 50s. Current temp is 30.
For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes at Homes for Our Troops. And thanks to our donors and supporters, this life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit hfotusa.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I am joined this bottom of the hour by University of Wisconsin Atmospheric Sciences Professor, PhD, Senior Scientist, Head of the Nelson Institute Center for Climatic Research. I keep wanting to say climactic. It's both climactic and climatic. At the University of Wisconsin, Stephen J. Vavra. Steve, thanks so much for carving time out of what must be a very busy schedule for you. We really appreciate it.
I'm happy to be here, Maggie. Thanks for the invitation.
You are more than welcome. I was wondering if you would indulge me for a moment, because just about 10 days ago, a talking head, which I realized that I am one of them, said some really interesting things. You don't have to address the talking head in particular, but I thought we could listen to what was said. I'll kind of distill it down, and we could use that as a jumping off point, because there's just been a lot of noise and chatter since this very deep freeze has settled in January, which seems to be more and more frequent. We seem to be having these polar vortex moments with greater frequency. Many people in Texas lost their lives back in 2021. We've had people die here in the state of Wisconsin. It's taking lives. People have sort of looked to that to say, what do you mean we've got climate change? But let's take a listen. Hey, Anya, we're going to take a listen. Who it is doesn't matter for you, and I won't ask you to comment on who it is at all. And I will do the distilling down of the points. But let's just take a listen, because I think this is what a lot of folks are used to hearing. So if you wouldn't mind playing cut two, Anya, that would be great.
Where's John Kerry now that we need him? Wait a minute. Iowa caucuses. Well now, WAPO, and all your liberal media friends, where's John Kerry now that we need him? Wait a minute. He's always telling us about global warming. It's an existential threat. See Janet Yellen for details on that one. Hang on. It's an immediate existential threat. But what about all the sub-freezing, sub-zero record temperatures we're talking about? That sounds like global freezing. I even remember the big freeze cover of Time magazine way back in the early 1970s. Now, coming back to today's news, the only headline I can find about global warming and his hysterical supporter John Kerry is how much money he and his global warming staff are being paid in the State Department. $4 million. For what? Hertz rental cars for buying electric vehicles.
So I'm going to cut this off, Anya. He goes on, he makes some other points, basically alluding to that this is about sort of diverting money into climate science-related fields to reduce the impact of human activity on climate. And he ends his little spiel by saying, drill, baby, drill. So I'm taking a couple of cuts, and I'm going to distill down for you what I keep hearing a lot of, which is, it's cold, and we have talked about big Arctic freezes, so maybe this isn't real. I'm going to ask you, I think you've got exactly the right expertise. Help us understand, how are these increasing, the increased in frequency polar vortex moments that we're having, it seems like there's more of them, how does that not disprove climate change? So how do these two things exist at the same time? Very cold temperatures for extended period of times and climate change, are they related?
Well, part of the distinction is between weather and climate, because weather is short term, it's day to day, it's, you know, what we had last week when it was cold, it's what we have this week when it's warming up and thawing. Climate is the accumulation of weather. So it's not just the weather right now or last week or last month, it's the long term, it's the big picture, it's the global temperatures, which hit a record high last year by a long shot. And Wisconsin, for example, just had its warmest December on record. And yet, now that it's turned cold for a week, suddenly some people are kind of freaking out about it. But if you want to look at the winter as a whole, we're still well above average for Wisconsin and the rest of the country. So that's what I would caution people is, you know, when it comes to weather, sure, you can think short term. But when it comes to climate, you need to think long term and big spatial scales.
Yeah, can you help people understand? I know that there's been some increasing academic interest in how the polar vortex, and I'm going to try to explain what that is in lay terms and then ask you to correct me. How does the polar vortex and climate change interact? Because there is some at least hypothesized interaction that has to deal with how climate change affects the stability of the polar vortex. The polar vortex is basically this bubble of really cold air that sits on one of our poles, right? On the North Pole, I guess I should gesture from the top, over the North Pole. And as climate is changing, the jet stream adjusts. And so you can have this interaction between the jet stream and the polar vortex that sits usually sort of in its own little bubble over the North Pole. Tell us more about that interaction. What are some of the hypotheses about the why you can have both a polar vortex and climate change and why they may be related?
Well, this is a highly researched topic right now. For the past 10 years or so, the global warming part of it's been going on for a long time, but people have really latched on to the interest in whether you can get some counterintuitive effects of potentially more frequent or more intense polar outbreaks, like the kind that we've had in high profile events in 2019 and 2014. And the idea is that the jet stream winds, that the upper air winds that blow from west to east that steer our weather patterns, we know that the strength of those jet stream winds is directly dependent on the temperature difference between low latitudes, the tropics, and high latitudes, the Arctic. The bigger the temperature difference, generally the stronger the westerly winds. So now with climate change, we know that the Arctic is warming faster than the rest of the world. So that has the effect of reducing that temperature difference between high latitudes and low latitudes, which weakens the jet stream winds. We also know that when jet stream winds weaken, they tend to meander more, kind of like a slow-moving stream compared to a fast jet in water. And when we get those undulating jet stream patterns, that's when we tend to get these Arctic air outbreaks. And so it stands to reason that it's possible that climate change is having a counterintuitive effect of altering the atmospheric circulation in such a way as to make these polar disruptions more common.
So you've made, I think, two really critical points. One is we've always got to be framing this in our head with the understanding that weather is what you see on a day-to-day basis. Climate, especially when you're observing, trying to observe global or regional climate, is over a much longer period of time, and you're trying to assess trends as well as some of the causation. And the third point that you just made was when we see things that may be counterintuitive, take a pause, because what appears to be counterintuitive may actually make some sense. The way that I like to put this is, if somebody's telling you simple, it's likely a riddle or a little bit more complicated than that. And so to hear the next thing that we hear, I think frequently is,
yeah, Don, you should be playing out live for the big game.
Actually up by one with 6 minutes left, but West came back strong and now lead by six, 3:35 remaining. There might be a technical foul called here. There's no PA for this game, so I really don't have the intel I'd like for this second. I'm sure there will be for the varsity. Yep. The players are being cleared away. It looks like the foul was called. They may have already taken her now. I think it was against Anehia Harris. You really got to be careful what you say to the officials. First free throw is, nope, no good. That's an Annika Berg is shooting the free throw, so I imagine she'll be shooting the, it's 10 fouls now, so she'll be shooting. Second free throw, that's no good either. So it is a 6-point Wolverine lead with 3:35 left, and now Mira Jones will shoot the, so I wonder if they did the free throws first, because Mira Jones, who apparently is a better shooter, is shooting the technicals. First one is good. Not much of an arc, but finds its way past the front of the rim for a swish. Hey, as we get a good look at Kyle, the athletic director. We have to get him to come on and say a few words. How you doing? We'll have to get you on at halftime, all right? We'll have to get you on at halftime, all right? Sounds good. We'll see you then. Thanks, Kyle. So, both free throws are good on the technicals, and West retains possession. It's now an 8-point lead with 3:35 remaining. You know, we saw this in the men's game, West versus South, where West had lost the lead, and then a technical foul gave South the lead back and the ball. So, basically, a huge 6-point turnaround. And it's so important for these young student athletes to maintain composure. You're not going to get the calls you like in basketball. It is such a subjective game to officiate. I certainly don't envy these officials and the work that they do. Hey, big shout out to Greg Wansnyder, Triple G, who's rooting for his alma mater, the North Stars, and their new teammates from South that make up this North-South team. They are wearing the North uniforms and the brand. But it was certainly great at the men's game, the North-South game last night, that South lost. They honored the Fusion men's volleyball team on the sectional championship and the Classic H championship. Wheezy's got the ball. Little dish there into Jones. Jones again. Unbelievable in the paint. It's now a 10-point West lead. 3:21 remaining. Good little movement by Wagner. Nobody open, though. Kicks it all the way back out to Elizabeth Durhammer Gresser. Long shot from Wagner. Won't fall. Rebounded by Big Lubinsky. Here comes Ava Lubinsky and the Wolverines. Mira Jones now has it. Their sure-handed point guard, who's been killing the North Stars of the paint. Going all the way. A good little dish to a wide open Wheezy in the corner. A rare miss. An air ball for Wheezy. Oh! Miscommunication again on the pass. But luckily there's a foul. Is it against West or North? They're calling it against North, interestingly enough. I thought it would have been against West. I think he's calling it a flagrant foul, a two shots on the ball scenario. So, again, wheels coming off for North. Composure a factor here for this JV1 team. This was a really fun game to watch. There were several lead changes. North is going to call a timeout here with 2:52 remaining. Our game should start right on time at 7 o'clock. But it's one of the treats in lieu of a pregame is when you have a close JV1 game, we will broadcast it for you, give you a extra value. Let's align you, as my Cajun friends like to say in the restaurant business. Hey, tonight's game is brought to you by Thrivent. They're growing in southeastern Wisconsin and seeking financial advisors. If a career with independence, impact, and purpose is important to you, you should explore the Thrivent Financial Advisor opportunity. You'll build your own business by combining your values, drive, and skills to help others thrive financially and live meaningful lives. You'll get unsurpassed support from Thrivent, a Fortune 500 company that's helped people follow their hearts and strengthen their finances for more than 100 years. To learn more, send your resume and contact info to wicareers@thrivent.com. And also a little bonus from last week's sponsor. This is a bonus game, Jawama. Elevate your brand with Jawama Screen Printing, your go-to local source for top-notch screen printing, embroidery, and promotional products. Whether it's spirit wear, business wear, or anywhere, Jawama has you covered. Trust the experts at Jawama for quality craftsmanship and customization. Visit WaukeshaScreenPrinting.com. That's WaukeshaScreenPrinting.com and get a 15% discount on your order and enjoy free shipping on every purchase. No order is too large or too small. Support local businesses and call or visit Joama Screen Printing today. Proud sponsor of the High School Basketball Game of the Week. Elevate your brand today. So we return to live action. There was two missed free throws on the flagrant foul, but West maintains possession of probably greater importance. With 2:51 remaining, the Wolverines lead 41-31. It's the first double-digit lead of the game. So, again, there were several lead changes in the first half. And there was two or three here in the second. West had dominated most of the second half, building a seven-point lead. And then North came back around from, like, the 8 minute to 6 minute mark and actually had the lead by one. And some great plays here by Weezy, who just drained another double one. That is Julia Weezy, the great granddaughter of St. Bonaventure coach Larry Weezy, who coached Bob Lanier and the Bonnies to a Final Four in 1969. Some great blood in that Weezy family. There was a foul at the other end here on West. So Ariana James will go to the charity stripe for the North Star Black Shirts. First free throw off the rim. It was a one-on-one situation, only nine fouls. Mira Jones has it, taking her time, crossing the line. Throws it to Schroeder. Schroeder into the corner to Boudet. Boudet driving in. Great defense by Flores. Kicks it back out to Schroeder. Back to Weezy, top of the key. Over to Mira Jones. Left wing kicks it back out to Boudet, top of the key. Boudet dribbling to her right. Good guarding, good defense. Gives it to Lubinsky, all alone for a long two. Yes! Ava Lubinsky, as cool as the other side of the pillow. And it's now a 15-point lead with 2 minutes and counting. And, missed layup, but a foul. And James will go back to the line in her Dayglow green shoes. And as our good friend Wayne Larrabee would say in the Packer games, that last shot by Lubinsky, definitely the dagger, if it really hadn't come sooner here. But unfortunate, because it was such a great game. And I can't wait to talk about last night's game when South beat North in overtime. Now, South was up by eight with a minute and a half remaining. And North came back and tied it. Cooper Haas, who led the North Stars with 30 points, was unreal from three-point land, as well as tough in the paint. Scrappy young lad, a left-handed pitcher for the North Star baseball team. But the Black Shirts outscored the North Stars 15-9 in the second half to pull out a big victory. And it was a sweep of the Waukesha schools, public schools this week for the Black Shirts, beating West here on Tuesday night in a great game. Then West played North the following night, and the North Stars were victorious in another great game. And then last night at South Fieldhouse, a great win for the Black Shirts. First free throw's good from Boudet. Excuse me, that was Annika Berg. So, got a text here from Johnny. Yeah, no worries, Johnny. No cuss words from this man. And about less than a minute left here, less than 2 minutes. Nice little drive there. James misses. Berg gets a rebound for the Wolverines, leading 47-32. So, again, a much closer game in spite of this, what will be a final score, a double-digit final score here for the Wolverines. And Lubinsky has it underneath, kicks it back out to a wide-open Maddie Oley back in the game, and she drains a deuce. 49-32, and it looks like another timeout. Big question mark this late in the game with such a big, but I guess some good coaching moments here for North. North-South looking to really raise the bar in this program after what's been a tough season. So I think now, Johnny, would be a great opportunity for station identification here on the High School Basketball Game of the Week Network on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM. Johnny, take it away, please.
You're listening to 540 AM and 101 FM, The Shaw.
Love it. The soothing, calming voice of Johnny Watermelon, affectionately known as Johnny Watermelon. So great to have him on the board tonight. And it's great for our producer extraordinaire, Anya, to get some quality time. She's been so so devoted. She's worked so many hours here for WAUK. And produces quite, she produces Busted Pencils, Maggie Dawn Show. Does a lot of great work. So here come the North Stars. Wegner will bring it up in the right backcourt. 1:15 and counting. Kicks it over to Durhammer Gresser. Back to James, top of the key. All the way across court to Wegner. Driving in from the corner. Ball goes off her knee, but recovered by Flores and the North Stars. But Berg will pull it away, and a little scrum for the ball. Are they calling a foul or a jump ball? I don't know. Certainly got a rise out of the crowd. The bigger, taller Berg knocked over as Flores was fighting for the ball, and the refs are having a chat. The one referee, an older, distinguished-looking gentleman with glasses and a good short haircut. The other referee, a shorter, younger gentleman with crazy, curly, wavy hair. Wish I had hair like that. And they're still chatting. 1 minute exactly left in the game, and really a lot of wasted, a lot of non-value time wasted, non-value-added time wasted here in what is an academic outcome. I just don't see any 17-point plays in the North Stars' horizon. And again, saw some really quality basketball here until the wheels started coming off for the North Stars in the last 5 minutes. But a credit to West playing very consistently, especially on offense. They passed the ball well. They had good design plays, really good movement of the ball, and a lot of good cuts to the basket. And a lot, they really created a lot of open shots for themselves. So certainly some great takeaways, I think, for the North team in this defense, this offense they played tonight. And, you know, a lot of great second opportunities, too. So I see some Wolverine players clapping, so they may be getting the call here. Again, I can't understand why it's taking so long. And what started out as a held ball, they may have said that West initiated the foul contact before Flores knocked over Berg. So they're clearing players away. It might be another flagrant foul, and again, I know I was talking about not being too hard on the officials, but definitely a lot of over-officiating here. Now a referee's coming to talk to the student section, warning them. First free throw's good, I guess it wasn't good. That's Sarah Hyde, her first look of the game. She makes the second one, though, and blows a kiss to the West crowd. And again, lack of sportsmanship, I'm seeing too much of it. One of the Waukesha South players, Giovanni Perea, was called for technical for making a muscle movement to the crowd, though, to his own crowd, and that drew a technical. So it must have been a double foul because both teams are shooting. Who gets the ball, though, is beyond me. And again, without any descriptions from the PA, but student section filling up here for West, and in maybe being a little too obnoxious cheering and what is an obvious become a blowout. 51-34 with a minute left. So my fear is now the varsity game will be delayed because of all this time spent in the faculty room by the officials. And inbound Tamara Jones. Now another whistle. Oh, there was a sub. They wanted the sub to come in, so Log will come in for Hyde. And hopefully we can finish the game here. And it's finally under a minute. Long shot. No good. Mattiotti couldn't get the second shot to fall. Lubinski drives but decides to pull it out here. And Berg for long misses everything. Rebounded by Ariana James. Here come the North Stars, 38 seconds, and Coach Dennis Brown kind of shook his head. James knocked the player down as she got the ball. Got very physical here at the end. Wheezy comes in, and the foul. Charge on Wheezy. Wow, interesting call. The defender really did not have much position on that. But again, with a 17-point lead, I think Wolverines are just more interested in finishing this up and taking the big W. And again, this final score does not do justice to what was otherwise a great game. Good effort by both sides here. And, hey, big shout-out to Jody Schroeder, a Waukesha West parent and Waukesha special needs teacher at West, is listening to the app, the Civic Media app, at the game. So, hey, big shout-out to Jody on the air here, and thanks for all you do for our community and for Wolverine Nation. And, again, it's a hard thing for this black shirt father and Michigan State grad to say Wolverine Nation with some enthusiasm. But congrats to the Wolverines. JV1 game. Last shot, no good. And that'll do it. Final score, 51-34 in favor of the Wolverines over the North Star Black Shirts combined. And now the main event coming up.